Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're on chapter 32, Yeshayahu. And we're going through that time period before Hizkiyahu was the king. Hashem was angry with the tribe of Yehuda, basically the Jewish people. The 10 tribes had been wiped out. And now the Assyrians, who had destroyed the 10 tribes, were coming to conquer Yehuda as well. And they had conquered most of the countryside except for Yerushalayim. And they had a righteous king named Hizkiyahu. And he was the one who didn't put his trust in Hashem. And earlier it described that the people had put their trust in the Egyptians, and that wasn't well placed. Most of the country was overrun. And in Hizkiyahu's generation, they turned the tide. Now, he only was king for 14 years, and so it didn't last. You know, his son turned out to be a sour apple. He was the one that Hizkiyahu initially didn't want to get married and have children because he somehow saw that his descendants wouldn't be good. His son was Manasseh. That was a bad apple. But so the beginning of the prophecy is going to describe what a good king does and the good things that will happen. And then they'll describe what will happen afterwards, where that was just temporary, that the Jewish people would then fall back. And then, so let's take a look. Hein letzedek yimloch melech. What is the purpose of a king? So some people would say, well, he has to make political deals, his purpose is to wage war. No, we had before, wars are really in the hands of Hashem. Politics only goes so far. The purpose of a Jewish king is for righteousness. It is to make sure that there's justice in the country, that there's no deceit and there's no dishonesty, and that people aren't pocketing money. Over and over again in society, it's corruption that destroys society. One of the things that's disheartening when they showed about the IRS, how they were spending millions of dollars in fancy hotels and movies, and because somehow we used to think of America or United States as not being corrupt or less corrupt, but there's no question that people just find a different ways to use their corruption, whether it be political junkets or other things. But this, they're taking money away from people who can't afford it to cover these types of expenses, and they say, well, it's the government, it's what they, you know, what they're required to have. But a righteous king, his job is to make sure that things are done fairly. Everybody knows that King Solomon, where the two mothers were fighting over the baby. And so the question, though, is why would that go to the king? What does he have to do with the decision about, you know, today that would be handled in a family court or something, or there would be a, what do they call it, they appoint someone to a mediation, or be very low level type of thing to decide which parent deserves the child, or why would it go to King Solomon? Because in society, people feel wronged. There are wrongs that take place. And you need a society that will not let somebody take advantage of someone else, or somebody push someone else around, or somebody take somebody else's baby, or take something that doesn't belong to them. The purpose of a king is to make sure that the right things happen. And so that's what he says. Hein letzedek yimloch melech. The purpose of putting a king is to make sure that people aren't exploiting others, to make sure that people aren't harming others, to make sure that people aren't taking advantage of others. In ancient society, somebody who was a widow or an orphan or a stranger or poor had no one to stick up for them. And so people take advantage of those that had no one to stick up for them. But the job of the king was to make sure everybody had equal rights. It wasn't that somebody who could afford the best attorney would do better, or somebody that could hire somebody in Washington to lobby their cause. So these are all ways that in our society we get around, you know, like a bribe or corruption. But the reality is, if somebody has enough money to buy the best attorney that money can buy, you know, look at O.J. Simpson, or look at, or somebody can hire a lobbyist can lobby, you know. But at the end of the day, there has to be a justice. Things have to happen because they're right, not because the tobacco company has a... Well, we run into that in the food business. There's a food coloring called Carmine.
Yeah.
Carmine Red. And it's made from crushed beetles. And the company, Del Monte, uses it in their fruit cocktail. Now, they know that if they would sell fruit cocktail, which is made for kids, and, you know, kids love fruit cocktail, and that has the bright cherry, they know that if they would put on the ingredient crushed beetles, nobody would buy it. And you're required, according to law, to list the ingredients. So they lobby the Food and Drug Administration not to write beetle, but what they write is cochineal.
Cochineal.
Now, if you Google cochineal, you'll see it's a variety of a beetle.
Right.
So, but they had the deep enough pockets and enough to be able to get the Food and Drug Administration not to write beetles. And it happened in Starbucks. Starbucks strawberry frappuccinos was colored red because people thought it was strawberries. It was actually beetle extract. And so when people asked them, what's the story? Where does this come from? So they said, our strawberry frappuccinos are all natural.
They are natural.
And they are. Dead beetles are, bugs are natural. And people were furious because Starbucks mostly is very popular with young people that want to be very green and very humane, and many of them were vegetarian, and they were eating crushed beetles. And it's just, it's just that there's no justice. In other words, if you say that everybody has to list what they put in it, you can't disguise the name of something and say, well, let's not call it a beetle. Let's use some obscure variety name, cochineal, cochineal extract. That's what they write. And that's it's word speak. And the only point I'm trying to make is that even in our society, which is somewhat just, and there are good... officially, our society stands for the right things, Judaic Christian values and truth. But you really need a king. You need a righteous king to make sure that people aren't taken advantage of, different powers don't take advantage of people. And so in a Jewish kingdom, they'll make sure, even if some people say those two women that were fighting over the baby were not of high morals. That's the reason, you know, they were that type of... but it didn't really matter. In other words, a king's job is that people shouldn't take what doesn't belong to them, that there has to be justice and there has to be honesty and all levels of government and all levels of life. And one of the things we say when we pray is that we pray for justice, because sometimes things happen that we just are just not right, and there's nothing you could do about it. But you turn to Hashem and say, that's what we want. In the prayer we say in Shemona Esrei, we say that Hashem should be bring us back justice, and Bahasar Mimenu Yagam Vanocha, and He'll remove from us sighs and woe. Because there's so much in life that, you know, why does it have to be that way? And so if you have real justice, so that's what the king's job is. He will work with righteousness. He will try to do the right thing. And Lusorim, and for the officers and other government, Lumishpat, they will work for Yashru. That's Yisoru. The purpose of their being there is for Tzedek. And it's really interesting. The word justice, Tzedek, is the same as Tzedakah. It's a righteousness, it's a goodness, it's what's proper. That's what we want. So what will it feel like when we get to, what will this leader feel like? What did the king feel like? So it's a very interesting description over here. V'haya ish, and that man will be kamachave ruach. So first of all, if you're ever in the wind and you get blown away, you hide behind something that blocks the wind. And so that king will be like something to save you from being blown away, to keep you from the wind. They say to them, or on a rainy day, I came running under the ledge when I got to the Kova building, right? That's the Beseisizerim Kapalge Maim. Beseisizerim is like in a rainy day to come under shelter. So one is it's very windy and you can stand behind something that blocks the wind. Another is if it's raining cats and dogs, and you can, the Seser Zerim, and you can go under something that blocks the rain. The third is, if you're in a desert, and it's very hot, and you take the, they used to call it the Nesti plunge, they used to show it, like a very, they show imagery of being very hot, and then all of a sudden they have the cold drink on the, so that's his imagery, Kapalge Mayim B'tzion. And just like the cool water in the hot land, or Kitzel Sela, or in air conditioning, like, you know, it's very hot and you sit in the shade of a big stone covered the Eretz HaYafa in a weary land. So these describe different forms of protection. We live in a world where people are affected by the elements, whether it be the rain, the wind, the lack of water, the heat, and just like the person needs protection or they find protection, they'll find protection under good government. The government will protect them from allowing wickedness to prosper. Below Teshena, verse 3, Einai Royim, and people that couldn't see before, now they'll be able to see. And the people that were trying to hear will be able to hear. When there's not justice and things aren't the way they seem, then you can't see right and you can't hear right. Well, you can't believe what you hear and you can't believe what you see. Everything is there's only a little bit of truth to it. You know that. Verse 4, Ulevav Nimhorim Yavin Ladas. And there are a lot of people that don't understand, and they seem to, when this king will be there, there'll be a lot of wisdom, and people that are don't have that wisdom, they're going to start to understand. The Hebrew is very interesting. Let's look at the second word there. Levav, the heart, Nimhorim. The word maher in Hebrew means quick. There are certain people that they think everything goes in and goes out very quickly. They just can't. They don't focus. They're very short sighted. They think that they have no time to digest things. So those people that are maher, that are quick, yavin, bina means to use intuition to think or decipher. So people that thoughts went through them very quickly will come yavin ladas. They'll come to have understanding. Ulashona ilgim, and people that stammer, they can't get their words out, to mahir ladabar sakos, they'll learn to speak. So it's really interesting what the times of having a righteous king who will lead the people, what will happen. All of a sudden things will change. Verse 5, one of the problems of living under a wicked king is that what's bad is called good. It's like the George Orwell, the double speak. Below Yikra Od, Lenovel Nadiv. It won't be called anymore somebody who's novel. In Yiddish, they call it a manuvel. A manuvel is somebody despicable. Then this despicable person won't be called generous. There are plenty of people in life who are don't deserve any honor or any glory, and they're in the limelight. They won't, when the righteous will lead, the despicable people won't be called generous. Ulakilai, and a person who's arrogant who's stingy, lo yomashua, no longer is he going to get honored. People that aren't what will be? 6, ki novel nevalu yidaber, because the person who's disgusting, who's a manuvel, who's going to speak, people will know what he is. Velibo yasa oven, and in his heart he's crooked. Lasus chanef, and he flatters. But people won't get away with that in a time of truth. Uledaber el Hashem Torah, and these people, they speak lies about Hashem. They speak flatterers and liars. I grew up, there was a certain rabbi who used to argue that there are people that are high placed in society who are not what they seem. Sometimes we have, and it turns people off. That's one reason that in the Arab countries that people are able to be so radical and blow themselves, because they don't like what they see. They feel that their leaders aren't leaders, and after a while, people feel it's not worth it. He's describing the when truth will come, no longer will people who aren't worthy be able to pretend they're worthy. Laharit nefesh rav, and they empty. These are empty people, and umashkit samayat. They take away. It's like they take candy away from a baby. They take food away from those that need it, and they take drink away from those that are thirsty. That's a bad. Those are bad people. They're takers. The thing about it is, sometimes we talk about good and bad. He describes it as givers and takers. We're going to see that life. Our goal is to be people that give. Is to be people that do things for others, live for others, give for others. And if a person is taking away from others, that's the opposite of what we want to be. That's the imagery that he's using here. The word, this word, he's describing somebody taking away people's food and taking away their thirst, their drink. Seven, the keli kalev royim, and the way he goes about it, the things that he uses to take advantage of people are evil. Who's zamus, and his mechanisms are evil. Yod tzuchavu anavim. He gives advice how to take advantage of the poor. Imre Sheker with lies. Ubedavar evyon mishpat. And he takes advantage of those that are in need. So that's the bad people. So the bad people, those that take advantage of others, those that abuse others, those that take away from... unfortunately, we find that people prey on senior citizens because they are... they're older, and sometimes things are harder for them, and they get confused easier. And so, a lot of the robbery that's done, they take advantage of older people, and that's horrible. How do you take advantage of somebody that's they live their lives, they pay their dues, and then they're taking advantage of? Why? Because it's like taking candy from a baby, because it's easier, because there's no one to defend them, because they get scared easily. They'll call on the phone and say, threaten them. We're going to do but it's just that it's really a wicked thing to take advantage of someone. But thieves, they look to take advantage of whoever it's easiest to take advantage of. Mm-hmm. So whether it be children or the poor or the elderly, whoever it is that they can take money from the easiest, they'll do it. And that's where the wickedness lies. Now, on the other hand, let's talk about good people. Verse 8, Unadiv, a good person is a person who's a giver. And Nadivas Yoetz, and he's thinking about how he can give to others. He's just the same way a bad person is thinking who he's going to rob next, who can he take advantage of next, who's his next prey. So a good person is thinking, how can I help this other person? I look out and I what can I do for you? How can I help you? That's what he's thinking. Vahu al Nadivas Yoetz, and the world stands on such things. So that's the description of that that time. Now he's switching. The prophets often switch. Good, bad, good. Sometimes it's hard to... If we stopped here, we'd be fine, but we're going to keep on going because we're in the middle of the chapter and we just started. But you'll see, now he's going to get to the bad. So he was talking about the 14 years of Chizkiyahu, where we had righteousness and we had truth, and phonies and people, charlatans that take advantage of others, wouldn't be able to do that anymore. Now he's going to talk about there's going to be a corrupt king, and society needs to stop evil or stop that. Sometimes evil doesn't get stopped because people are complacent. They don't do anything when... he's describing here that the country was complacent and they allowed it to sink into a bad way, and it had to be destroyed. It had to be decreed that the Beit HaMikdash was going to be wiped out. And had the people realized what was happening, they could have stopped it, but they just were complacent. Some people thought that we're Jewish, we've got nothing to worry about, Hashem's going to take care of us. And it doesn't work that way. Even if you're Jewish, even if you're a member of the right team, you got to work for it. You got to be worthy of it. So he describes them here as nashim shenanos, as complacent women. So some people say it doesn't refer to women at all. It refers to just the an attitude or a it's just the way people were that there was this the women were known for being calm and being not overly worried, and they were a better. Usually, it's a good thing to have a certain calmness about things, not worrying. And so, they knew Hashem will take care. Have faith. So over here, he now turns and he says, I guess the women have always been the bedrock of Jewish society in Egypt when the men fell apart under the slavery and under the idol worship in Egyptian society. It was the women who held everything together. That's always been the hallmark of the Jewish people. That's well known. That's the it's described in many places that the house of Yaakov, somehow men are more described as getting involved in mishigasim and in idol worship and in the streets and in other things, and it was always the Jewish women that kept the family together, that kept the people loyal, that kept that allowed the Jewish people to survive. It was the women that did that. So over here, he now addresses the women. He says the women in his time were shenanos. They were not worried. They were complacent. So kumna, get up. Shemana koli, listen. And he feels that if he can convince the women that they need to take action, then something's going to happen. If the women get all riled up, then how do they say it? If mama's happy, everyone's happy? Or that's the... I don't know who says that, but I've heard that on the average, right? That they know that if the bedrock of society. So he's talking to the women over here. He says, the women who are not worried, who say, yeah, it'll be fine, don't worry about it. Kumna, get up. Shemana, listen to what I'm going to say. Benos Betuchos, the daughters that have been talking. Hazinu, listen to what I'm going to say. Yamim al Shana. Yamim al Shana means days on a year, which means that it's going to happen in a short while, and it's going to continue to happen. Tirag gazna, you've angered Hashem. Betuchos, kikola batzir, because you've all relied on the harvest. The harvest isn't going to come in. Osa b'liyavo, and it won't come. We're always told to have faith, to be optimistic, that things will be okay. And many times that's all we can do is have faith and just know it'll work out for the best. There are other times when we're not supposed to just sit there and say it'll be okay, but we're supposed to go out there and make sure it's okay and take action. And it's very hard to know when we're supposed to just have bitachon and have faith and when we're supposed to go out and shake up the world, because if we don't do something, it won't be okay. So that's what prophets were for. So he was saying, you got to, you know, it's not going to be okay. The harvest is not, it's not going to come in. The boat's not going to come in. 11. Instead of being relaxed, chirdu, be, now this is the same word, chared means be afraid. This word is used, the ultra-Orthodox in Israel, they use the name charedim. Chared means those that are afraid. The idea is that, there's two groups in Israel. There's people that are observant; they follow the laws. That's just they don't eat pig and they don't work on Shabbos. And then they're what they're called charedim. Chared means that not only do they follow the laws, they're nervous to make sure that they're doing it right. That's what the word chared means. That a person sometimes, well, how do I know it's kosher? The guy said it was kosher. Well, what does that mean? You know, people say anything. You know, well, so that it has to have an extra stamp on it. You know, it has to be that the word charedim comes from that word chared, means that they're nervous, they're afraid, they're somehow they got adopted to describe what they call the ultra orthodox or the, but it means it means not just observant, but it means cautious observance. A type of, well, they're going to do something just to be sure. They want to go 100%. That's where the nickname Haredim came from. Whether you like it or not, that's just what it means. That's where it, once people adopt a name, it's hard to know whether they subscribe to that name or they don't subscribe to it. Typically, anybody wears a black hat, they call them Haredim. You know, but it comes from that. Usually, that's a compliment. It means a person is fearful that he's doing what Hashem wants. Yaakov Avinu was promised by Hashem that he would come back, and Hashem said he would take care of him. And when his brother came out with 400 men, it says he was afraid. So the question is, what are you afraid of? God promised. He said, yeah, but maybe I've sinned and I'm not worthy of the promise. So like a good person always is afraid maybe they've made a mistake, maybe they can do better. That's where the word afraid comes in. And the fact that we have this word Yira Shamayim, we're supposed to be afraid of the heavens, afraid of Hashem. It doesn't mean we have to be afraid that, you know, that he's going to come and strike us down. It means that we're always concerned that we're doing the right things. We're always worried that maybe Hashem wants us to do more. So here he uses that word Chordu, be afraid. Shananas, you people that are chilled, that are not worried, that are, he calls this complacent. Rugza betuchos, you who have bitachon, you should be afraid. Don't have bitachon. And the people were, you know, the society was a wealthy one. They wore nice clothing, and he said, you're not going to be able to wear nice clothing when you go into exile. Pashta, you'll. Your clothing will be taken off, the chagura al chalotzim, and you'll have put a belt on. Usually you put a belt on means you got to go to work. People used to tighten their belt when they had to lift, or they had to, you got to put a belt on your loins. I don't know, again, today these expressions don't, if you ever watch a weightlifter, you'll see they tighten the belt and they, you know, they get ready to lift up, or but today you don't see it, you know, so much today when you go outside, you put on your belt, or but it means that, you've been complacent and you've had faith, you shouldn't be so complacent, and you should worry, and you're going to need to tighten your belt, and you won't be able to wear this kind of clothing. Al-Shadayim Softim, and you better start crying. You're going to beat your breast. Al-Sadeh Chemed Al-Gefen Pariah, and you've had life good. You've had the fruit of the vine. When Israel was, everything was good. It was described as people sitting under their vineyards. Each person is sitting under their vineyard, under the vine. You know, grapes, when they grow, it's, the society is very wealthy, very rich. People are going to remember, it'll be a memory when they used to have the fruitful vines. Admas Ami, and on the land of my people, coats, there'll be thorns. It was a land that was very productive, flowing with milk and honey, and instead it'll be coats, it'll be thorns, shamir, bristles, tala. People will plant and the things won't grow. Ki al kol bate masos kirya aliza, and where it used to be houses of joy, places of joy, from the word sason, that's where that masos, from the word sason, there'll be kirya aliza, it'll be like a village of doom, of gloom. Ki arma notush, the palace, everybody lives in palaces, the palaces are going to be abandoned. Hamon ir uzav, the big cities will be falling apart. There'll be people will run away. Ofo Bochen Hayo. The towers and the ramparts, the things that were big and built up will become ruins. Ad Olam. It says forever. It means until they're broken, until these things won't be rebuilt. Masos Porei Merei Madorim. And the cities that will become a place for wild animals. There'll be wild donkeys and there'll be pasture for flocks. Ad Yara Aleinu Ruach Mamarom. So now we went bad. So we started out good. We started talking about the good king and the righteousness, and it'll be the shade from the wind, and it'll be the save us from the rain and coolness from the heat and all the good things. And then he describes the complacency that'll set in, where people won't worry about things, and they need to be worried because of the exile. Again, this is all the vision he has. And now, in order not to end on a sad note, which is not our way, life is ups and downs. That's really what it is. It's good and bad. It's he's going to now he turns to the, even though there'll be exile, and even though things will be destroyed, So now he goes and he says, but then there'll come a time when there'll be a Mashiach, when things will be improved, and where will there'll be salvation. And this is how he says it. 15. Ad yara aleinu ruach mamorim. There'll be like a spirit that's poured upon people from above. We don't really know what makes people tick. Why is it all of a sudden people start thinking of certain things? They become spiritual. People change, and something comes over them. There'll be a spirit, and it's described from up high, by the Midaber LeCarmel, and the place that was a midbar, that was a desert, will be Carmel, will be full. I mean, we've somewhat experienced that in our lifetime, where Israel today, or not today, 80 years ago, was a total desert. People that traveled there, Mark Twain, other people, said that it was a desert. The British, when they made the white paper, and they made they forced the Jews to die in Europe, because they said that there's no way Israel will hold more than 500,000 people. There's 8 million. But now you can say they were anti-Semites, which they were, and you can say they are. That's correct. But there were English people who were not anti-Semites, who were officially Zionists, but they felt that, well, the scientists say only 500,000 people can live there. There's just every land can't support. There's no way the land could support more people. So if we let all those refugees go there, they'll just starve, and there's just no way. And so they convinced themselves that Israel would not. And we know, you know, you go to Israel today, and places that were a desert 50 years ago are blooming. So the Hashem is going to make the desert into a Carmel, as he said, like into a, the word Carmel is the word mol in Hebrew means full. Like it's going to make it a full land. The Carmel, now it'll get even better. The Carmel will become, Liyar will become like a forest. Now, what's going to change about society? V'shokin b'midbar mishpat. There'll be that mishpat. Again, it's just, the things have to be correct. Things have to be righteous. People have to have, there's a value to justice. Utztaka b'karmel teshim. And in this area, there'll be righteousness and justice. We don't see the Mashiach as some super strong person who's going to defeat all of our enemies. We see him as a person who's going to bring righteousness, who's going to lead people to do the right things. 17. Fahaya Maisa Tzedakah Shalom. And when the way he does things will bring peace. He'll bring people together. Vavoda Tzedakah, and the work that he does will bring hashket. This is from the word sheket. Sheket v'akasha. Sheket means quiet. There'll be peace and there'll be quiet. Ubetach, and it'll be security ad olam forever. 18. V'yoshev imi b'nevei shalom. And my people, you know where we'll live? B'nevei shalom. I think there's a place today in Israel called Nevei Shalom, but I can't. Nevei means a peaceful dwelling. That's what Nevei means. Nevei means like a dwelling. Nevei is a dwelling. So Nevei Shalom means a dwelling of peace. We'll be mishkanos mistachim, and we'll have places that we can be secure. Mnuchos shananos, and the real security will come. So the people were secure in the times of Chizkiyahu, but it was a misplaced security because there wasn't righteousness and there wasn't justice, and it was temporary. And so we would go through an exile, and then Hashem will bring a spirit from on high that will motivate us to come back and to have the spirit of righteousness and justice and peace. 19. Uborad Feredis Hayar, and there'll be like a hail that'll come down on the forest. But in other words, the people that were haughty will be hailed down. They won't be so haughty. Ubashvela Tishafel Ir. There's an idea that the people that are cause injustice, they're haughty and they lord over others and they take advantage of others, and they're going to have a day of reckoning. They're going to have the hail is going to lower them down, and they'll be lowered, they'll be humbled. Verse 20. Ashreichem, fortunate are you, Zerea Akol Mayim. Now he's referring to the Jewish people, and we're planted by the waters. The waters usually refers to waters, spiritual waters, waters of Torah. But fortunate are you. There are plants, if you plant and you don't have a water supply, it's very tentative. But if you plant in an area next to water, then you know you'll be successful. And so this, once the country has righteousness and justice, it'll be like planting on water. It's going to succeed. As long as you have lots of water, it's going to grow. You know that, right? So that's Ashreikum Zerikol Mayim. Mishalchei Regel Hashur V'Chamor. And people will be able to walk on foot with the ox and the donkey. Some people say that there'll be like a burden to carry, like people will be happy to carry the burden of the ox and the donkey, like the will be successful, or it just means that we'll have lots. In those days, they measured wealth by the ox and the donkey. You know, if you had an ox and a donkey, you had it made. It's like you have whatever it is. You have, today you have stocks and you have Apple and you have a car. And you have, in those days, you had the ox and the donkey. That's what the. That's right. He still had to plow the field, but that's. But you had it made. If you had the ox and the donkey, and so fortunate are you. And then that's how he describes. So you really have a lot of ups and downs within this time period, at least in this short prophecy. But it gives a person a picture. I think they can deal with the challenges if they know eventually it'll work out, or where the goal is. And the imagery is very important. But even in terms of the word nadiv, a generous or giver, or the how we constantly find that stress, that Hashem doesn't like arrogant or people that think they're better than others or that lord over others. It's the humble. It's the people who don't have airs about them. That's important. And then also the idea of being a giver, wanting to give to others rather than those that take and take advantage of others.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.